Welcome to the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine. Meet him, greet him, treat him, and street him. Today's date is December 10th, 2021, and I'm your skeptical host, Ken Milne. The title of today's podcast is Change the World, Honoring Dr. Rakesh Engineer. And our guest skeptic is Dr. Carly Easton. She is an associate professor, Division of Research in Evidence-Based Medicine, Department of Emergency Medicine, University of Arkansas for Medical Science. She's also the chair of the SAEM Evidence-Based Healthcare and Implementation Interest Group. Welcome back to the SGEM, Carly.
Thanks, Ken. I'm excited to be here.
Well, I'm excited to, be talking to you, of course, but people may have noticed my tone is a little subdued to my usual excitement about talking nerdy. That's because we've got something serious. We're going to be honoring a friend and talking about that. But before we get to that, and hopefully it won't be a downer episode, I want it to be a celebration sort of episode. So let's go back to the BC times, the before COVID times. And let's talk about when we actually, 2 years ago, had the pleasure of recording a live episode of the SGEM at the University of Arkansas. And we were talking about vitamin C and sepsis back then.
That was really fun, Ken. It's hard now to even imagine life or medicine, BC, before COVID, and especially medicine without masks.
Yeah, it's been a bit different not being able to do stuff in person and have to do it remotely. But remind the SGEMers, what was the bottom line from that episode 2 years ago about vitamin C and sepsis?
We felt there was not enough evidence to support the routine use of vitamin C in critically ill patients.
Okay, Carly, bring us up to speed now. 2 years later, what's changed?
So there have been a couple of new randomized controlled trials, but really the bottom line has not changed. So first, the vitamins trial by Fuji and colleagues published in JAMA in 2020, they randomized 216 patients with septic shock and found no statistical difference in their primary outcome of duration of time alive and free of vasopressor administration up to day 7. They also found no difference in their secondary outcome of 90-day mortality. The second trial that has recently been published is the ACTS trial, A-C-T-S, by Moskowitz and colleagues, also published in JAMA in 2020. They randomized 205 patients with septic shock and also found no statistical difference in their primary outcome of SOFA scores at 72 hours or in their secondary outcome of 30-day mortality. So in the end, we really feel that the available evidence does not support vitamin C and sepsis.
Well, it was Dr. Paul Merrick who'd been the big advocate for vitamin C and sepsis. And we did an SGEM episode on his published before and after study. This was SGEM 174, Don't Believe the Hype, with a dozen skeptics expressing their concern that the results were just too good to be true. Is there any high-quality evidence, Carly, to support the routine use of vitamin C for the prevention or treatment of COVID? Because people have been throwing the kitchen sink at this virus.
Well, it does seem that vitamin C is probably too good to be true. There is so far insufficient evidence to support the routine use of vitamin C in the treatment of critically ill or non-critically ill patients. Regarding COVID, there is currently a phase 2 interventional randomized placebo-controlled trial testing whether treatment with vitamin C may prevent symptoms of COVID-19. But so far, based on what we know, there's no high-quality evidence that vitamin C can prevent COVID-19.
Okay, before I forget, we had Dr. Erin Willard, and she was the superstar resident that was the co-guest skeptic for that live episode. See how I'm getting excited again? I like talking nerdy. I like doing education. I like working with residents. So you're going to have to give me a little boost here. What's Erin up to these days?
Yeah, so Dr. Willard graduated from our emergency medicine residency back in 2020, and then she moved to Chattanooga, Tennessee. She currently practices at Hamilton Medical Center, which from what I understand is a pretty high acuity community emergency department in Dalton, Georgia. She also got married, and so is now Dr. Erin Graw. If you're listening, Erin, congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations, Erin, and good luck in all the things you're doing there in Tennessee. But we're not here to talk about vitamin C, because we've just talked about that a bit. We're not here to talk about COVID. Oh, I just don't want to talk about COVID right now. It's like everywhere and it's all we ever talk about. Okay. And, you know, I don't even want to do a structured critical appraisal on a recent publication, which is really weird because I'm always ready to talk nerdy. But this episode is to pay tribute and also to celebrate a friend, a champion of the evidence-based medicine community, Dr. Rakesh Engineer.
Dr. Rakesh Engineer died suddenly in 2019. And so the Society of Academic Emergency Medicine reflected on how best to honor him. We decided to name an award after him, focusing on his passion for implementation science.
Now, before we get into the details about the award itself, I think it's really important that listeners get to know a bit about Rakesh. And so I reached out to my good friend, my EBM mentor, my BFF, Chris Carpenter, and asked him, could he give a brief introduction and say a few words about Rakesh?
Rakesh Engineer passed away in 2019. He was a devoted husband and a dedicated father to three sons. He was born in Cleveland, Ohio, and he attended Ohio State University, where he earned both his bachelor's and his MD. After his internship at Barnes Jewish Hospital at Washington University, St. Louis, he trained in emergency medicine at Spectrum Health in Grand Rapids, Michigan. After that, he joined the Cleveland Clinic to be with his family and to educate the next generation of emergency physicians and launch his own clinical research career. Rakesh's vision epitomized implementation science, in which knowing is not enough. We must apply. As an emergency medicine clinical researcher, Rakesh thrived at the interface between published evidence and pragmatic application at the bedside. He was a friend, and I miss him dearly. And I'm pleased to say that this award will forever bear his name.
So now we've heard that brief introduction from Chris Carpenter. Carly, are there any thoughts and memories that you may have that you want to share with the SGEM audience?
I did not have the privilege of knowing Rakesh personally very well, unfortunately, but I was following him because I was a member of the SAM Evidence-Based Healthcare and Implementation Group when he was very active in that group. And I was still trying to find my way in the EBM world. I noticed that he was such a good speaker and was very funny and was also very well respected among all of the other members of the EBHI group. I also remember that it was Rakesh who gave me my first real introduction and understanding of implementation science. And since then, I've been hooked.
Yeah, I really like that you mentioned that he was really funny because, you know, my memory, you know, my last memory of Rakesh was running into him at the SAEM meeting in Indiana. And I guess to be more accurate, he almost ran into Chris and I outside the hotel. And what I mean by running into us is we were heading out to get something to eat or do something. Anyways, Rakesh pulls up in this big sedan. At least that's my memory. This big sedan pulls up. And for some reason, I want to remember that it was a convertible. And we pretended almost to get run over by him. And Rakesh jumps out of this convertible and jumps out. And he has this big smile, which he was always wearing. And we had this quick, nerdy chat. What a good memory I have of Rakesh. And so Chris sent me this really goofy picture of Rakesh. And I'm going to include that in the blog because, you know, you can be really goofy and really smart and all at the same time.
It is hard to look at that picture without smiling. I can't tell you how many stories just like that I've heard about his laughter and fun personality. He was clearly highly respected and loved by a lot of people.
Yeah, and he was a nerd, okay? So like he published a lot of peer-reviewed articles during his career. And this included things like cardiac biomarkers, gun safety, diagnostic imaging studies. Was there any one or two studies that really reminded you of Rakesh's work?
I do remember his work regarding high sensitivity troponin and rapid cardiac evaluation. He was actually preparing to give a talk on that exact topic at the SAM annual meeting just days after he died. He was so passionate about using the literature to improve care. And for chest pain patients specifically, he was really pushing to reduce unnecessary cardiac testing.
Yeah, Rakesh had just been elected as the chair of the Evidence-Based Healthcare and Implementation Interest Group for SAEM. And he'd been an active member, which I had participated with him for a number of years. Now, that's the role you're holding now. You're the chair of the EBMHI Interest Group. And it's one of the reasons I asked you to be on this special episode. You knew Rakesh through the interest group, and you share his passion for evidence-based medicine and implementation science.
Yes, he was had just been elected the chair and was set to take over as the chair during that annual meeting, and he died right before. So it really sent a shockwave through the EBHI group. I definitely know I have big shoes to fill, but hopefully I'm leading the group in the right direction. It's exciting to be the chair during the initial year of this award.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about the mission of the EBHI interest group, and then we can talk about the new award named for Rakesh.
EBHI stands for Evidence-Based Healthcare and Implementation. This is an interest group within SAEM. The mission of this group is the applied concept of merging healthcare professional expertise, research, and patient priorities and circumstances through a defined process of finding, appraising, and employing clinical science at the bedside.
I really like that mission. See, there comes out my Star Trek James T. Kirk impersonation. But I do like that mission to boldly go where no evidence-based medicine interest group has gone before, right? I mean, it aligns with the three pillars of evidence-based medicine. There is the literature that informs our care, guides our care. But then, of course, we still need to use our good clinical judgment and never forget that patients have preferences and values which we need to respect. This is what Dr. David Sackett said evidence-based medicine is and what it isn't 25 years ago in his BMJ article in 1996. And Rakesh believed in integrating these three important aspects of evidence-based medicine into practice for implementation science.
I think some students or clinicians new to evidence-based medicine forget that EBM is not just about the data. There is so much more to it. Advancing medicine with scientific data will not work if your plan is not feasible or if your patients don't agree to it. And people seem to forget that sometimes. True EBM is considering all of these angles and making a decision that best reflects the data, your specific patient, and your setting and experience.
Exactly. So what does this special interest group provide to members of the group?
The interest group provides a network of expertise from the emergency medicine resident to the seasoned investigator, which serves as a forum for research, education, and clinical practice. Basically, we just get to be nerdy all the time.
Oh, I love being nerdy. Now, there's got to be some objectives, right? There's got to be subjectives. I'm hoping for 5, but I'll accept 4 if you only have 4. What do you got for objectives of the interest group?
Our first objective is that we engage the membership regularly and broaden the active core group through mentorship and collaboration for junior members.
Oh, mentorship. That is so important. We need to build and develop our foundation and our base to move forward so we have sustainability and that this continues to be promoted, the evidence-based medicine model.
Yeah, the networking that you can get from this is really phenomenal. Our second objective is to increase the use of social media and internet platforms to improve visibility of the interest group and its members and to disseminate best practices in emergency medicine.
That's like so meta because that's what we're doing right now. We're using social media to talk about all of Rakesh's great work, and we're talking about how implementation science works and evidence-based medicine. I mean, social media can be such a powerful tool to cut that knowledge translation window, that KT window down from over 10 years to less than 1 year. And it was Sir Mark Walport who famously said, "Science is not finished until it's communicated."
Our third objective is to continue focus on interinstitutional collaboration on journal clubs and scholarly projects, including original research or systematic reviews. One way we did this last year was we invited each other to Zoom journal clubs that each institution was having. And it turned out to be a really great way to collaborate and have some face time with each other since we weren't able to meet in person.
Yeah, the objective to generate original research is really important. Patients deserve the best care based on the best evidence. I also really like the focus on journal clubs, and I actually participated in some of those in a collaborative fashion. It was actually Dr. William Osler who started the first formal journal club at McGill University in 1875. So, hey, journal club is not a new concept.
Our last objective is to sponsor high quality didactic submissions to the SAM annual meeting.
Yeah, it'll be great to get back together again with friends in person, talking nerdy. And it's not just the didactic sessions, but it's those hallway conversations we have, the coffees, the dinners, and the other informal events that take place during a conference.
Yeah, I think it goes without saying we are all excited to actually meet in person.
Now, I did the math, and they told me there'd be no math, but I did the math. That was only four objectives. So I'm going to propose, you're the chair of the interest group. I'm going to propose a fifth one. And the fifth one is going to be to foster friendship across the nerdy world. Because reflecting back over the last 2 years of COVID, it's these social connections and the friendships that I have made that have really contributed to my wellness and joy of the practice of medicine. So maybe we could throw in number five, just for Ken, that it'll be about friendship.
Ken, yes. I love it. I'm all for it.
Okay, let's get back to our friend Rakesh. The interest group wanted to find a really good way to honor him properly. And so a decision was made to create this new award. Tell us about this award.
The Engineer Award will be given to an outstanding presentation related to implementation science at the SAEM annual conference. Quality improvement projects can be considered if the implementation methods, effectiveness, and outcomes are also reported. De-implementation studies or the removal of ineffective care are also eligible. We will consider abstracts accepted to the SAEM annual meeting this May and grade them based on a list of criteria related to uptake, clinical outcomes, and its sustainability. We will then judge the top three abstracts live at the annual meeting and choose a winner.
You know, I really like that because, you know, we want to implement things that work, but we also want to de-implement things that haven't been demonstrated to work. It's like finding that Goldilocks zone, not too much medicine, not too little medicine, just the right amount of medicine. So some people may not be familiar with the term implementation science. I mean, we've been throwing it around this whole podcast. So maybe you could give us a definition or help describe what implementation science is and point some people to some more information that I could include as links in the show notes.
Well, the journal Implementation Science defines this as the scientific study of methods to promote the uptake of research findings into routine healthcare in clinical, organizational, and policy contexts. In other words, implementation science programs use available evidence to achieve measurable improvements in the quality of clinical care. It's easy for everyone to think that once something is determined to be the standard of care, that people will just start doing it. But it's really not that easy. There are a lot of factors that influence the success of implementing a new practice to improve care or removing an outdated practice that might be harmful. Implementation science methods allow you to move through this process in a way that will be effective, sustainable over time, and lead to your desired outcomes.
Yeah, we've been talking about that on the SGEM for years, that it can take over 10 years for high quality, clinically relevant information to reach the patient's bedside. And that's that leaky pipe model that Chris Carpenter helped put together. And that first leak in that leaky pipe model is awareness. And so people need to be aware of what the science is before they can implement it, obviously. And we want to go for that poo. We want to get that patient-oriented outcome to improve their quality that is clinically relevant to them.
And it does take a lot of effort for people to change their practice, whether it is adding a new treatment or test or removing one. And so it is better and it's more sustainable to do it in a systematic way. For those who would like to learn more or get really nerdy, I suggest that you read the manuscript titled Fostering Implementation of Health Services Research Findings into Practice, a Consolidated Framework for Advancing Implementation Science by Laura Damschroeder and her colleagues in 2019. This is in the journal Implementation Science. And it is quite lengthy, but it's a really good introduction to the framework of implementation science.
I love that it's from 2009. So we're already talking more than 10 years. It's so feeding into the ethos of what we're saying about how long it takes for things to get into practice.
Exactly. You can also find a wealth of information at the NIH Implementation Science website. And lastly, for those in academic or university settings, you may not even realize that you have implementation science experts locally who can provide additional resources. I would suggest exploring your institution's website for these programs.
Well, Carly, the Rakesh Engineer Award sounds like a wonderful way to honor a super guy. When will the first award be presented?
We will be taking submissions for the consideration of the award until the end of March 2022. We are planning to give out the first Rakesh Engineer Award at the conclusion of SAEM 22, which will be held in New Orleans, May 10th through the 13th, 2022.
So for those nerds interested in nominating a other nerd, or you can even nominate yourself, we'll put some links in the show notes that'll have a PDF document of the details. We'll also put a QR code and a URL link so that you can click on that and apply. Anyways, thank you, Carly, for coming on the SGEM for this extra special episode to celebrate, honor, and remember Dr. Rakesh Engineer.
Thanks, Ken. It's been a privilege to be here and dedicate this award to Rakesh.
Do you have any final thoughts then about Rakesh before we finish?
I really hope he and his family are proud of this award and our attempts to advocate for high quality knowledge translation. And I really hope we are able to continue this award for many years in his honor.
Well, I'm going to circle back to what Chris Carpenter said earlier about Rakesh's vision. And that is, quote, knowing is not enough. We must apply.
Exactly. Let's all work on bringing our knowledge to the bedside.
The SGEM will be back next episode doing a structured critical appraisal of a recent publication, trying to cut that KT window down from over 10 years to less than 1 year using the power of social media, so patients do get the best care based on the best evidence. Carly, can you give the SGEM tagline?
Remember to be skeptical of anything you learn, even if you heard it on The Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine.
Talk to everyone next time. The